meeting of Tuesday, November 10th, 2020 to order. Are there any changes or additions to the agenda? Any changes to the agenda?
Well, that's okay.
If so, could I ask for a motion to approve the agenda? Moved by Counselor Gidney and seconded by Counselor Brown. Is the agenda be approved as presented? All those in favor signify by saying aye. Raise your hand. Approved. This morning we have a presentation from Anna Hunter, who will introduce herself. And as council members and those in the gallery have picked your packets up, we've had time and opportunity to review your presentation.
Wonderful. Okay. Thank you. I'm going to stand just because I feel like I need to project my voice through this mask, so if that's okay with folks. So thanks for having me here this morning. Nice to be here, and congratulations to the new elections and new councillors here. And nice to be here at one of your first meetings to present on this great program. So my name is Anna Hanser. I'm the South Shore Regional Manager for Community Sport and Recreation with Community Culture and Heritage, and I'm here to just speak with you this morning on the request from Megan about the Municipal Physical Activity Leader initiative, and that is the position that Norm Amiro is in. And I'm just going to give you an overview of that position, and then you can ask any questions at the end of myself or of Megan or of Norm, and we'll just go from there. So the Municipal Physical Activity Leader position, we often call the MPAL initiative, and so I'm just going to give you a brief overview of that and then see if there's any questions. Hopefully you'll know more at the end of the presentation than you do right now when I say MPAL. So Municipal Physical Activity Leader position in Nova Scotia, the MPAL program, is a partnership between the province, the Department of Community, Culture and Heritage, and a municipality or First Nation community. Currently in the province, we have 44 MPAL agreements. 10 are with First Nation communities and 34 are with municipalities. So you're one of 43 municipalities represented in this program. Some MPALs support more than one municipality in terms of numbers. So in terms of the numbers of municipalities in the province, that's quite a high participation rate. In Queens, you were one of the first municipalities to join back in 2008, and Megan Roberts was actually in that position for the first few years, and she wrote a very strong and great initial physical activity strategy for Queens. You took a bit of a break until 2016, where you've now been in the program since 2016. Recently, there was a physical activity strategy developed under the guidance of Megan and Norm in 2020, so very recent, and that was informed by a few things, including a citizen survey that would have been done in 2016 on physical activity habits, barriers, issues and challenges around being active as a resident of Queens, as well as desired areas for physical activity. So that's a random phone survey that would have been completed in 2016 with over 200 of your residents. Ultimately, the purpose of the MPAL position is focused on physical activity, okay? So it's a physical activity initiative. Sometimes when we think about recreation, we think about that broad scope of recreation being arts and culture and other things, including physical activity, but this initiative is just focused on physical activity. And the purpose of it, as stated in the Memorandum of Understanding, is to support the development, implementation, and evaluation of a community-wide plan, which you now have, that will increase physical activity and decrease sedentary behavior. And so the position is not the primary organizer of programming. Programming is not the role of the MPAL. Across the province where we have MPALs, the true intent is to support a comprehensive approach to increasing physical activity through physical environment changes as well as social environment changes for the residents of Queens. And just to distinguish, so increasing physical activity as part of daily life in an unstructured way where people self-initiate and integrate physical activity as part of their day, and then decreasing sedentary behavior. So just to distinguish those two, often, you know, we can have somebody who is active by working out for 1 hour a day, but is sedentary the rest of their day. There are health consequences to being sedentary. So what we want to do is also break up sedentary behavior and increase physical activity. So just distinguishing those two for folks. So put another way, we want to get residents in Region of Queens and in all MPAL communities across the province to move more often during their day. We want to make movement the easy choice as part of people's day and as they go about their day in the different settings that they're engaged in. We want to find ways to support and integrate initiatives that break up sitting time, so standing desk, walking meetings, different policies within workplaces that allow people to move throughout their day. Working in those key settings where people already are, right? So we're looking at an unstructured, non-programmed way to get people active in the school setting, workplace setting, community, and healthcare setting. We want to create and enhance physical environments for movement, for physical activity, whether that be connector trails, whether that be signage so people know where all the wonderful trails and assets are in the community, support social environments for movement, and ensure all residents have access when something is offered or created. So why is physical activity the focus? I think most people would know that there's lots of benefits to physical activity across the physical, social, and mental domains of being a whole human in the world, right? We know that it's a good preventative measure for health issues. It's also important for chronic disease management. People feel more socially connected and well in their life when they are physically active as part of their day. And there's many, many mental health benefits to being physically active. Of course, there's also community level benefits in terms of the economic benefits, environmental benefits, and benefits in terms of the school setting. So the other way to think about it is that we have, as a society, actively engineered physical activity out of our daily lives because of industrialization, manufacturing society, and creating a society that's very car-based or designed for vehicles. This program is recognizing that there's been consequences to that in terms of our health and well-being in our communities. And so the focus on physical activity is because we want to put back and re-engineer and insert opportunities for physical activity as part of our residents' experience in our municipalities. So the focus of the MPAL program is focused on creating environments that will make movement and active lifestyles the easy choice. So we integrate where they can integrate it and embed them as the way that they live their daily life, where they work, play, and learn. And the main focus is to increase access and opportunities for unstructured movement and walking, cycling, that kind of thing, in small bouts throughout the day, and focus on that breaking up of sedentary behavior. So the primary document that guides our relationship between the province and the region of Queens, or all the MPAL communities, is the Memorandum of Understanding. Right now, you are at a renewal stage for your Memorandum of Understanding, and generally it's a five-year agreement that we enter into, so that is forthcoming through conversations with Megan. So we're looking at renewing for the next 5 years with the Region of Queens. So this is the opportunity to give you a sense of what that's about before you proceed down that in that conversation. And essentially what is outlined in the Memorandum of Understanding is the time duration. One of the commitments in there is $30,000 from the province to support the position in terms of salary, professional development, travel, and benefits. The region then tops up the remainder of the salary and other costs accrued through the different initiatives and approaches that the position would take. It outlines the five outcome areas, which I'll speak to next, in terms of the focus of the position, which essentially is about walking, unstructured physical activity, and policy environments. If I take my glasses off, I could go wonky, so I'm just going to try to do it with the foggy glasses. It also identifies the priority populations for engagement. So the citizen survey that would have been done, a lot of this work is data driven, right? So it's driven in terms of listening to what your citizens are telling us about how they are or are not active in their lives. What are the barriers to physical activity broken down by gender as well as age group? And for Norm and Megan to guide the work to respond to that and find ways to intervene or remove those barriers so people can be physically active. So that might look differently for somebody who lives in a rural setting versus in the downtown core of Liverpool. But then through this, we also identify the general trends across the province and in Canada in terms of when people's physical activity levels decline. And that's how we've identified some of the priority populations, which is young people, especially females, older adults, and females across the lifespan generally have a lower physical activity levels than males. We also, of course, want to make sure that there's an equity lens on things where what we offer and create is welcoming and inclusive and accessible to all folks across our population. And principles for work, one being that we would work that while there's one position upholding this work within the municipality, the true intent is that they work across all government departments or all departments within the municipality in order to achieve their work and to bring a lens of physical activity to planning, to recreation, to the conversations at this table so that we can also think about how that would benefit physical activity levels in order to benefit the residents. So the five areas for the outcomes in the MOU, so let's get moving is a strategy that was developed by the province. It's our physical activity strategy developed in 2018, and it really is what's informing both the MOU as well as our work on physical activity in the province. And so these are the five outcome areas that Norm is delivering on in his work and working towards in terms of his priorities and the strategy that you now have. And essentially it goes across walking, less structured physical activity, and policy. And so really it's about creating the physical built environments that allow people to be active as part of their daily life, whether that be walking, cycling, outdoor play, swimming, all the things that folks do in terms of having fun and moving their bodies throughout the day. And then social supports for walking and less structured activity. So whether that be increasing the leadership capacity in rural communities in order to provide programming or initiatives or opportunities, whether that's providing different activities within the community in order for people to be exposed to the beautiful assets that you have in Queens to be more physically active. But it's not about offering a program every week. It's more about providing exposure to what's available so folks can then self-initiate and be physically active as part of their daily life. And providing the proper supports, whether that be walking maps or walking challenges or different activities, cycling gear, visibility, slowing speeds in certain communities so people feel more safe to walk on the side of the road, or signage, that sort of thing. And then, of course, we know that when we work towards change in a community, if we have a really strong leader moving ahead one initiative, but we do not embed that in our policies, when that individual leaves, that momentum and that focus leaves. So the other element of this work is, of course, to work at a policy level to integrate physical activity into existing policy or create policies within the municipality or with among partnerships in order to increase physical activity. So that's really like working across and trying to create a comprehensive approach to ensure that physical activity levels slowly and incrementally increase in Region of Queens for all those benefits mentioned earlier. So ultimately, you now have a great current strategy, which is very exciting, for the next 5 years to guide the work of Norm. It's informed both by that Let's Get Moving strategy, the MOUs, the research around priority areas, as well as local data and conversation. So that includes the citizen survey from 2016. Norm and guests did a lot of community consultations to inform that strategy. And then, of course, emphasis on those outcome areas. There's lots of appendices in here that outline what they heard at those community consultations in the citizen survey so that you can see that come to life within the strategy and action areas. And so I'll give you some examples of some work that's being done across the province in terms of the Municipal Physical Activity Leader Program. So in some communities, they're doing bike-friendly certification in the downtown business core, where there's bike racks, where there's access to water, and there's a welcoming environment for cyclists, and which helps promote tourism as well as business within the small community. Connector trails between schools and community assets, or between seniors' homes and community assets, so folks don't have to get in their car to drive 500 or 1,000 meters because it's actually there. If you pave it in terms of accessibility, if you're connecting it to a senior's home, then you think about all those things, benches and comfort stations in terms of folks being able to actually use the asset once built. Walking group leader training for walking groups. So it might be that somebody within the municipality initiates that, but then you support community leadership in the rural areas to be able to do walking groups over time. Training and resources and planning support for outdoor play with those who are engaging with families and community. The benefits to outdoor play go across the child development spectrum, including physical activity. Creating walking loop maps and trail signage, which we would have seen at Pine Grove Park. There's a great map there. And lots of signage, lots of benches on trails for older adults, private landowner partnerships for public access for trails. So these are all examples from across the province. Equipment loan kits, which you've done quite a bit of in Region of Queens, especially over the COVID pandemic, and refurbished bikes for low-income families so they have access to what they need to be active. Walkability audits, recreation and physical activity options, and health waiting rooms. Norm and I are working on that right now. Sidewalk paint active games, so kids skip along the sidewalk while they're on their way to school. It's very basic, but we know that people are not moving their bodies enough during the day, and as people age, the physical activity levels are decreasing. Workplace walking challenges with supports, prompts, and prizes. So all the ways that people can partner to deliver this work. In terms of the provincial role in this, of course, we have the salary towards a staff person. We provide resource materials to inform the strategy development. We fund the citizen survey that would have been completed. We provide advice, capacity building supports for NORM. We do capacity building and training events throughout the year. We're able to support demonstrating value and results, so evaluation, consultation and support for implementation. There's a large network of MPALs across the province to draw ideas from. And then we have funding support through grants, and in particular, Active Communities Fund is very much aligned with what MPAL does, and that's about $20,000 a year that folks can apply for in order to support the different initiatives. And in terms of the community role, of course, money towards salary of the staff person to employ and supervise HR support and ensure that there's support for partnership development as a key way to deliver and implement the plan. Ensure the plan development and implementation reflects MOU commitments. And then, of course, when we think then we bringing it down right to the staff role is, of course, to develop and implement a strong community-wide plan, implement the strategy in a strong way. So partnership is really key, applying best practices and using evidence and research to inform while you're not along with your knowledge of your community. Focusing on the physical and built environment to support physical activity, working across municipal departments as well as with community partners. Capacity building and leader development within the community, so there's enough people who are able to support opportunities and interest in physical activity. Policy development, looking at a universal design approach and or a targeted approach for some, so we know that some populations within our communities are not necessarily they don't necessarily feel welcomed or they need additional supports in order to participate or show up at events or opportunities. And so thinking about what they need to do that or ensuring that you're inviting them specifically or creating an initiative for that community. Informing your work by data, having innovative initiatives, trying something out, having a theory behind it and seeing if it works, trial and error, and then try it again, and championing physical activity within the municipality. So that's an overview of the MPAL program, which is then up for renewal for the next 5 years within the municipality. I'm happy to answer any questions. Megan and Norm are here as well. Thank you for your time this morning, and you know, just keep moving.
Thank you, Anna.
Yeah.
Who has any questions for Anna? Councilor Brown.
Do you partner with different areas of the government to make areas more accessible? As an example, when I was out campaigning in Mill Village, a lot of them are complaining that the sides of the roads have not been cut with bushes.
Yeah.
It's almost impossible to walk.
Yeah.
This is a provincial, you know, responsibility.
Yeah.
Do you work with those departments?
Yeah, so depending on the roads, right? Some roads are municipal and some roads are federal or provincial, some are municipal. So yeah, it would be something that, of course, Norm or Megan could elevate with us, and then we would look to either connect them with the person in TIR or transportation infrastructure. There's an area manager. So yeah, we're able to navigate and help make those connections and or support that from an active transportation perspective. I mean, we don't have a magic wand in order to get other departments to do exactly what we want, but we do try to support the thinking around physical activity across departments.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Another question. Councillor Fancy.
Some different things, like, for instance, you say benches along trails and things, right? Are we just talking about municipal lands and things like that? Because there's a lot of trails that there are around the where it's one down here in Hankstown Park where the benches are all rotted out and things, people like to use those, but that's somebody else's land. Do we partner with people like that or not?
Yeah, I mean, that would be based on, yeah, like Norm and Megan guiding that in terms of if that's an area that the public can access. So the main thing is that it's about public access, right, as well, and about what our focus, of course, around benches would be. Does it enable a certain population to walk more or be more physically active than they normally would, right? We wouldn't necessarily pay for a sheltered picnic area in the parking lot, but if it encourages older adults, which is a demographic here, to walk more, then that would be something that Norm could identify as like a priority area and seek a bit of cost share funding for. But yeah, it's about public access and physical activity, and if it's an important asset for a certain population.
Can I follow up on that?
Yes, you may.
You had something in there, was it called the AFL?
Active Communities Fund. Is that what you,
Yeah. $20,000
It is aligned specifically with those MOU outcome areas, and so there's a cost-sharing component of it, but yeah, if there are initiatives that fall under the MPAL, then you can apply for it generally in like early spring during that fiscal year, and Norm has accessed it over the past 2 years to support some initiatives within the community. Yeah.
Thank
yeah.
you very much.
You're welcome.
Any other comments or questions? Anna, thank you very much for your enlightening presentation.
You're welcome. Thank you.
We are indeed a studded entry society as we think of how many clotheslines do we see, how many people hang their clothes out, and how many people off to rake their neighbor's leaves. So lots of things we can do to keep active. Tabling of petitions. Are any petitions tabled today? Public question, comment session. I remind anyone who wishes to make a public comment or a question to please give their name and civic number.
I still have to press the button here so you can be able to hear me. Leon Robinson, College Street in Liverpool. I'd just like to take this opportunity, Mayor Gorman, I'd like to congratulate you and the council on your new position on council for the next 4 years. All the best.
Thank you very much, Leon. Anyone else wishes to speak? All in good? Approval of minutes, 6.1. Is there a mover for the... It's been moved by Councillor Charlton and seconded by Councillor Romero that the regular council of October 13, 2020 be approved. All those in favor? Contrary? 6.2, special council October 29, 2020, moved by Councillor Gidney, seconded by Councillor Hawks, that the minutes be approved. All those in favor? Contrary. Nothing to report on dangerous or unsightly premises this morning. There is no report from economic development, which takes us to 9.0, corporate services. The our CAO has realigned all of the positions in the financial department. There are some slight changes, which we will point out as we encounter them.
Wrong one.
Wrong one.
So 9.1 is the job description for Director of Corporate Services. Chris, are there any changes to be made?
Sure. Just by way of background, as Mayor Norman has indicated, our Director of Finance has taken a position elsewhere, and so now is the appropriate time to realign or correct a few things that have been deficient or things that we want to improve on going forward. And so as part of that, the Director of Finance position is being proposed to be changed to a Director of Corporate Services. And so essentially what we've done is, and you'll see in some of the other job descriptions as well, is we're separating out the revenue components of our organization from the expense components of our organization. So previously, the Director of Finance supervised some people who were revenue components and had expense components, and our Manager of Finance, Ms. Plummer, is with me here today, supervised some revenue components and some expense components. And so what the change is being proposed today is we're going to separate it out, and one employee will be responsible for the revenue side of the organization, the other employee will be responsible for the expense side of the organization. And so for the director of the proposed new Director of Corporate Services, it'll be the expense side. And so the reporting structure will show it the accounts payable clerk, the payroll benefits clerk, and the administrator of Hillsview Acres will realign with the Director of Corporate Services, and some of the other positions who are revenue are being changed over to the Manager of Finance position. So the real, so other than that, the significant changes for the Director of Corporate Services that's different from the Director of Finance, Currently, the director of finance is designated as the treasurer, which is a term defined in the Municipal Government Act that's required of every municipality. Many of those functions are now looked after by the manager of finance, and so simply that is being removed from the director of corporate services and being moved specifically to the manager of finance position, which is where most of the functions currently take place. Okay, and that's an accountability function, so that all the functions that are the responsibility of the treasurer lie with one person, and it's not split between multiple people. Item 6 in the job description for the director of corporate services includes an HR function. Presently, we do not have a specific person responsible for human resources, so most of that falls upon the CAO, and in some cases, some other departments, but this will be a new realignment where some of that HR function, most of that HR function will move to this person. It's a corporate function, and that's why it goes under the corporate services person. And the other significant change is item 13 in the job description is IT. Presently, IT, up until a couple of years ago, IT was always under the finance department. We did some realigning a couple of years ago. For the first time ever, we hired an IT manager, and that position reported to the director of planning and development. But now the director of planning and development is dealing with a number of other positions in that department, so it's appropriate to move that IT position back to finance. That's the most appropriate place. That's where it resides in 99% of municipalities in Nova Scotia. And so it's appropriate now, with the change in responsibilities, to move that back. So items 6 and 13 are the new responsibilities, and the other ones are more administrative stuff, internal stuff.
Any questions? We have a motion for 9.1 for the new job description. And moved by Councillor Gidney and seconded by Councillor Brown that the job description for Director of Corporate Services be approved. All those in favor?
Services job description attached.
And that was seconded by Councillor Brown. All those in favor? Passed. 9.2, job description payroll benefit clerk.
Okay, so for this one, and this plumber's here in case anybody has any technical questions about the role of these positions. So the only change to this one is this position formerly would have reported to the Director of Finance. And so throughout the document, you'll see if there are instances where it said Director of Finance has been changed to Director of Corporate Services. Other than there is one mistake in the opening paragraph, it still refers to Director of Finance on line 7. And so we need to just correct that from Director of Finance to Director of Corporate Services. That was an oversight in my responsibility in editing these. And then instead of the Finance Committee, it's now called the Audit and Internal Control Committee, which will come forward at the next meeting for discussion and ratification from Council to realign that committee. Other than that, the qualifications, the pay scale, all the other requirements of that position are the same.
There's a recommendation for 9.2. Councillor Gidney.
Recommendation for the Council of Region of Queens Municipality approve the payroll benefits clerk job description as outlined.
Seconded by Councilor Charlton. Any questions? All in favor? 9.3. Neil.
The only change to this one is just it reports to the Director of Corporate Services, and the committee, if it's in there, refers to the finance and the new finance or Audit and Internal Control Committee, but I don't see it there. So the only change to this is just the change from Director of Finance to Director of Corporate Services.
There's a motion in your package. Councillor Muse.
the council of the region Queens municipality approve the accounts payable clerk job description attached.
Seconded by Counselor Gibson. Are there any questions? All those in favor? Passed. 9.4, Mallory's new change, manager of finance.
Okay, and so as I mentioned, the one of the major component change to this is the item, the very first item on the number one on the job description for the manager of finance appoints the person as the treasurer. As I said before, the director of finance in the past has been the treasurer, but most of the functions of that treasurer position have been carried out by the manager of finance. And so just to ensure accountability and responsibility, we're transferring all of the responsibilities of the treasurer over to the manager of finance. So they deal with all the process from beginning to end without any ability for somebody to become involved partway through the process. The other part of this is all the revenue functions are now report to the manager of finance. So you'll see in the opening paragraph at the bottom, the tax clerk, accounts receivable clerk, the utility clerk, and the finance clerk will now report to the manager of finance. They're all revenue functions. And the only other change is the wording is the manager of finance reports to the director of corporate services going forward, and it's now the audit and internal control committee. All other aspects of the job description, the salary scale, the qualifications, and all those remain the same.
Thank you. Is there a recommendation in the package? Councilor Charlton?
I move that Council of Region of Queens Municipality approve the manager of finance job description.
Seconded by Councilor Gibson. Any questions? Councilor Hawks? No, you're fine. All those in favor? 9.5. Some of these, I believe, are much the same.
Yeah, so this one is identical. The only difference in this one is it refers to the Audit and Internal Control Committee as opposed to the old Finance Committee or the old Audit Committee.
Okay.
All other aspects of the job description are identical.
Councilor Mews, did you have your hand to move that motion? Do you have a question?
No, we move. I move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve the tax clerk job description attached.
Seconded by Councilor Romero. Are there any questions? Councilor Brown.
In the description, items 6 and 10 have to be a vote to be the same. Is that just a clerical item, or is it not just reading that wrong?
They look similar, so we'll it's fine as it is, but with the next edit we'll make note of that, and the next edit we'll correct that.
And it was pretty well a duplication. Thank you for your sharp
review.
It did indeed. Any other questions? All those in favor? 9.6, utility clerk, the recommendation.
I move that the Council of Region of Queens approve the utility clerk job description attached.
Seconded by Councilor Fancy. McNeil, do you have anything to?
The only changes to this are it reports now to the manager of finance as opposed to the director or the director of corporate services, so they're just a reporting change as I outlined. And then it's just the other wording changes as far as the audit and internal control committee. Everything else is identical.
Any questions? All those in favor? Contrary. 9.7. Accounts receivable clerk.
Okay, there is, so there is one correction in this one as well that I made the change, but didn't make the change when I added it to the council agenda under item 11 on this one. It says assist finance clerk with the collection, and actually should be responsible for the collection. So remove assist finance clerk with, so delete assist finance clerk with, and insert responsible for the. Okay, so this position actually carries that work out as opposed to assist. Okay, and the only change is a revenue function. So the so this changes, the reporting structure changes to the manager of finance because it's a revenue function, which is different. Other than that, it's simply the wording of the audit and internal control committee. All other aspects are identical.
A motion for that?
I move that we accept the recommendation for accounts payable clerk with the noted corrections.
Seconded by Councilor Muse. Any questions? All those in favor? We have a big change in this department. 9.8, finance clerk. Councilor Muse.
I move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approves the finance clerk job description attached.
Seconded by Councilor Charlton.
Okay, and just one correction to this one, if I may, as well, Madam Chairperson.
Yes.
Item 8 should be removed. That's actually, and that's the responsibility of the tax clerk directly, so number 8 should be removed. All other aspects are the same, other than because it's a revenue function, it reports to the manager of finance, and the wording around audit and internal control has been updated in the job description.
So with that deletion of number 8, disagree number all the other ones?
Correct.
Any other questions? All those in favor? Contrary? And last but not least, information technology clerk.
Okay, and it's actually information technology manager, so just a typo there. We'll just change that to manager. And as I mentioned at the outset, this position originally reported to the Director of Finance. We moved it to Planning and Development. And now with this reorganization, we're simply moving it back. So the only change is the reporting. Going forward, it'll report to the Director of Corporate Services. All other parts of the job description are the same.
Motion. Councilor
Mears. I move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve the Information Technology Manager job description.
Seconded by Councilor Gidney. Any questions? All those in favor? So for those in the gallery, you can obviously note that our CEO has put some thought into realigning our finance department. I know it makes perfect sense to myself that we have one person in charge of all, who looks after all the expenditure, because that is something that's very important to us, to keep a close eye on what we're expending, where and why, which will now become our Director of Corporate Services. And the second, lieutenant, which would be Mallory, will be looking at making sure all of our revenues are coming in. So it makes a very fluid, and I've spoken with Mallory, I think, Sunday, and she's quite comfortable with this, thinks it will work well. And so Chris, we do have the corporate services position that we haven't advertised until such.
We have just started to advertise it as of Saturday, with the expectation to be approved today. Obviously, if it didn't get approved today, then we would change that advertising, but we have just started to advertise it.
Okay. So that takes us happy to report on Craig. I think we did all of nine.
Yep.
Yeah, engineering and public works. Number 10. Nothing to report. Finance 11.1. It was discovered that, or Mallory, do you want to explain this since you found this?
Yeah, so the tax certificate fee has not been increased for 20 years. So during the budget deliberations for 2020-21, the council had okayed that we start charging $40 per tax certificate. And it was just overlooked that it was not updated in the policy. So this is just housekeeping. We've been charging the $40 since June. It's just to update the policy records.
And could you explain what a tax certificate is?
It is a legal document prepared as requested for law firms, mortgage companies, banks prior to purchase, sale, or refinancing. So if there's any outstanding amounts to the Region of Queens, they're listed and they must be paid before the sale can continue.
There is a recommendation within the package. Councilor Gibney.
I move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve administration policy 14 respecting the fee of tax certificate as amended.
Seconded by Councilor Brown. Any questions or comments? I think in 20 years, a $10 fee is not extraordinary. All those in favor? Contrary? Which takes us to 12.0, in place the mayor of board of directors. Megan? So as many of you know, when Queen's Place was built, there was a a committee made up of all council and some staff, and then it became a public committee, and now there's a motion to change that for a short time. So who wishes to speak to this?
Should we put the motion on the floor first?
Put the motion on the floor. Who would like to make the recommendation in the package? On your third page, 1, 2, 3, Councilor Hughes.
I move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality repeat the terms of the reference of the Queens Place of Mayor's Center's Board of Directors effective November 10th, 2020, and that all the board members be thanked for their contributions and efforts over the past 2.5 years.
Seconded by Councilor Charlton. And that was repeated, correct? You're not
going to
repeat
it. So, Madam Chairperson, as you indicated at the beginning, the Board of Directors, or it was an advisory committee before, has had multiple iterations. It's been a very difficult process to try to find people willing to volunteer. Originally, it was a completely council committee and staff, and then it was changed to mostly public members, but it was very difficult to find people. It's an advisory committee that many of the people that want to be advisory committee members are in sort of a conflict of interest because they're users of the facility, whether it's minor hockey, figure skating, or other users of the facility, and so it makes it very difficult for them to be on the advisory committee because they're in a conflict of interest advocating for their own interests of their organization. So we did make some changes 2.5 years ago, where we gave the previous advisory committee wanted more authority, more power, wanted access to more information. We did provide them with all the information they asked for. As far as all of our budgeting, all of our finance stuff, we gave them access to everything they've asked for, as I indicated. So they went through, they made some recommendations for policy changes, which have since come forward to council for approval. But now we're at the point where most of the policies have now been updated. The operation is consistent now. It's been in operation for 9 years. We continue to do the normal things we do: advertise, promote, look for new members, look for additional uses. But the board has essentially found out that all the prime, essentially, just for an example on the ice time, all the prime time ice is essentially rented. And so if you want to go out and find a new major user, there's really no space for that organization, for those people to use that facility. So it becomes a frustration, and it has been a frustration for the board of directors who are trying to find more use and more revenue for the facility. But the only, most of the available, the time that's available is Monday to Friday from 8 in the morning to 4 in the afternoon. And there isn't a lot of interest in that. And that's the same across Nova Scotia and across Canada. It's not unique to us. And so with that, the committee has, the board in the recent meetings before COVID has started to get into aspects of the operation that they shouldn't be involved with. It's not a, necessarily that they wanted to go there, it's just that the other work has been completed, and so they felt the need to still be productive, and so they engaged in some discussions in some cases where they're advocating on behalf of private businesses or advocating on behalf of individual user groups, which puts staff in an awkward position, and it puts council in an awkward position. And so there are things we need to do to improve over there, but we believe as staff that most of it is at the staff level. We have part of the operation is run by Ms. Roberts on the recreation side, and part of it is operated or looked after by Mr. Roeder on the operations side in our engineering and public works department. And we want to work, spend our time going forward, getting those people together in the organization and form a staff management committee meeting or staff management committee at this point in time, and get them working more closely together to look at where the revenues are coming from, where the expenses are, and to try to find some, whether it's efficiencies in the operation, in the organization. They can review the policies, they can look at the infrastructure that's there now, what we need to do to improve the infrastructure, whether it's on accessibility or whether it's on just ease of use for people. And so that'll be the focus, the proposed focus going forward, is that's what we do, as opposed to a board of directors that meets and talks about policies. We think we're pretty strong now with the policies, and now we need to focus on the day-to-day operations. And that's not a board of directors function, that's an administrative function. And so that's what the proposal is today. It's not that the board of directors didn't do good work, because they did, but I think the lifespan of what they were focusing on has now finished, and it's appropriate for us to now focus on the operational efficiencies that we can improve on.
So the intent is to improve on the operational efficiencies and to have Ms. Roberts and our Director of Engineering work more closely toward looking at improving operational efficiencies. I just have one quick question before I open the floor. If the public had comments, questions regarding policies, operationals, to whom would they flow those through?
All those go to Ms. Roberts.
The motion has been made. Are there any questions or comments? Councillor Gidney.
My understanding is that the board of directors have all received an email saying that they were being that the board is being discontinued on November 5th. We haven't voted on that yet. I'm just wondering why would that have happened at this point?
I know I did sign a letter to that effect, and perhaps it was a jumping of the gun. However, it was felt they, rather than them learn of it through this forum, and I realize it was inappropriate, I suspect, to say that everyone would be in favor of this. Though it does, it makes sense to do this. However, perhaps it was erroneous of us to assume that council would support this, though the gesture was made in good faith to the board members.
If I may, the intent of the, I don't remember specifically what the letter said. The intent of the letter was, though, was to give them notice that it was coming today for discussion and approval. And so if it did say that it was already approved, that's unfortunate. That's a mistake, and I'll take responsibility for that. But the intent was to give them notice so they didn't read about it in the media or see it in the package before before today and not be aware of it. That would be unfortunate. So that was the intent, was to give them due notice, which is the good faith thing to do.
I'll call that up. I'll see
I believe that we should have a board that puts place. It is, we want community involvement. And through community involvement, the board is structured and works with it. If there's problems with the board, then we should be talking to them. We should explain what we want them to do. We should develop government policies to clarify their roles and their responsibilities. Make sure that they're following the rules and responsibilities. And if they get out of line, then we discuss with them to explain again. But I really believe that a board would be very beneficial to the community rather than have everything back to the region to have, in better words, full control, which they do anyway because the board is vice chair. Thank you.
Any other comments? Councilor Fancy.
Yes, I kind of agree with Councilor Gidney. There's a few things here. Also, too, we will get questions from people on boards and everything else, and they were asked for their binders back too, so it looked like they were saying this was over. So again, I think we have to be careful how we do those things because it hadn't been approved yet, and people take it the wrong way. I don't think the optics look good by disbanding a board. A board is set in place for a reason. Now, I know we've talked here about different things, about what the board's responsibilities are. But I think they go deeper when I look at some of the different things, like when it tells about their responsibilities and such. There's so many things that they could be involved in helping with. We need the help from our community. We're running a $600,000 deficit. We should have community involvement. And if the optics of us disbanding the board and going to run it ourselves does not look good in the public eye, because it looks like we went to run it ourselves without having any input from the community. So, I know there has been issues, and I feel for everyone because we have had a problem getting people to come on board. But when we set out something as a group such as this, it really becomes our responsibility to let everybody know how it works and to get them to work together. Because it's ours, we created it. It's our responsibility to make it work. So I think we need to go back to the drawing board to find out how we can make this work and to be able to continue on with the board.
Thank you, Councilor Fancy, for your remarks. Any other comments?
Just if I may just clarify, we have advertised several times recently in the last 3 or 4 months, no interest from the public. I think we have four vacancies, no interest. Previously, we had advertised multiple times. We didn't have interest for it. Absolutely agree we need public input, but most of the public input that comes to Ms. Roberts every day or to her operations every day comes every day. It doesn't wait for a monthly meeting. Many of the discussions that the board wishes to have are confidential matters that council discusses in camera, and a lot of times it'll delay decisions by a month or two if we have to take it to a board in camera first and then bring it to council. We have experienced that before, and it has been a frustration for the board where we have to make decisions in a quick manner or a timely manner. And to not do so through the board would take 6 weeks or 2 months in some instances, and that's been a frustration for the board. And so because they are an advisory board, that's the process we need to follow. So we have tried to work with the board, and as I said, we have made some very positive changes, but I think we're at the end, and there has been a case even recently where the board came to council looking for an additional position over there, and council declined that. And so it becomes frustrating for them. They think that when they bring forward recommendations to council and council don't support that they need extra resources to do more work over there. Council did not support that. And so the board has gotten into other aspects of trying to raise money and try to do things. But in the most recent case, they suggested we spend an extra $40,000 or $50,000 over there to increase the deficit more for a private interest, which is inappropriate. And so So it has been a very difficult process for staff. I think we've gone above and beyond. We've tried as hard as we can to make it work. But all those different issues just compounded and make it too convoluted for staff.
Is there anyone else who wishes to speak before I hear again from Councilors Gidney and Fancy? Councilor Brown.
With four positions vacant on the board, has been an issue getting a quorum for meetings?
Haven't had any meetings.
Haven't had any meetings, okay. But with the four vacancies, would that allow them to have a quorum?
It would if all five, the existing five all came, it would be fine.
Councilor Hawks.
Do we require 10 community members to be on the board? Is that?
No, it's seven.
Definite number, or can that be changed?
The terms of reference say seven. Seven community members, and certainly council could change the terms of reference if they wish to.
Good. Councilor Gidney? Councilor Fancy?
And I understand the frustrations of trying to work with people. I mean, we all have problems with trying to work and make boards work and such as, but I believe it's still something where we need to be trying to make this happen. Like, I've talked to some of the board members who have been, their term ran out, and they thought they did great work there. They were very pleased with what was done there. They think there's a lot more work to be done, and they're excited, the people I talked to. Frustrated at times, of course, like everything else, but I think we need to make this board so it's workable. If they're frustrated, then why are they frustrated? What can we do to make that better? That's what I'm saying. I just don't want to, my position is I don't want to get rid of the board. I want us to be able to go back, look at it, figure out how we can make that board work. Because it is our public. And if we're going to let the public go and run ourselves, it's just the office don't work.
Councilor Deputy Mills, would you take the chair? I wish to speak on this matter. I've heard Councilor Gidney and Councilor Fancy, your remarks respecting why we should maintain a board. However, we have had either an advisory committee or a board since Queen's Place was built. We are still going further in the hole with the board. It's not saying it has anything to do with the board. However, our CEO has recommended a change of direction in the leadership, whereby if we eliminate the board and we place Megan and Brad working together, which they have not been doing, to look after expenses and revenues, and this does not have to be set in stone forever, but if we allow them the opportunity to come up with some new ideas, to adjust monies, then perhaps it will move forward. The board has done good work. I don't deny that. I've spoken with some of the past board members, and they have done good work. But why don't we give it a chance for the staff people to work together with themselves and council to look at how we can improve that facility, lessen our revenues, increase our revenues, and lessen our expenditures. I believe Chris, our CEO, when he speaks of the frustrations of having to work with the board, that wants to delve into personnel issues. That's something we can't allow, as you all know. And if it's reached that point where the board wants to become more of the management, then perhaps we step back from the board for a while and give this a chance. Because Queen's Place has always had some other level advisory there, and you know that, Jack. And after how many years since Queen's Place has been built? How many years?
Nine.
So we've had 9 years. So why don't we just give it a chance to see if we can improve it, working with our senior staff, who will keep us advised, and we will always have input, and give it a chance, rather than tying ourselves up with boards that continue to change and. You have to maintain the chair.
Councilor, I looked over at you. I understand exactly what you're saying. There's frustrations all the way around. There's frustrations for the board members I talked to. I don't want to get into the frustrations of it. I just wanted to put in saying, if it's a board there and the board isn't working, we created the board. It's our responsibility to fix it. I'm not for disbanding. No arguments, fighting, or anything. Just saying that's my opinion.
Just one last comment. Queen's Place has always had the final say since day one. So a board of directors has not or should not have affected how they operate the business. So if they're still in a deficit, it wouldn't be a board's problem. Okay, so the problem is somewhere, and the board was there to help identify that. It hasn't been identified, so by taking the board out, leaving status quo, I can't see a change. I'll comment. Thank you.
Any further comments? Ready for the vote? All those in favor of the recommendation? Opposed? Carried.
And like I said, it's not set in stone. We're here for 4 years. Give it a go. Here. 12.2. We heard the presentation from Anna regarding the MPAL agreement, and I believe she was very thorough in that. And the details of it in your package. Does someone wish to make a recommendation? Councilor Brown.
I move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality give second reading to bylaws respecting amendments. Accept the physical activity strategy, MPAL.
Okay, so there is a full Council Region 5-year agreement with Department of Community Culture and Heritage.
The one I was given was for the new zoning.
No, it's in your package. 12.2, second, third page. Let's see it. Third page, 12.2, just above communications.
Okay, I move the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality enter into a 5-year agreement with the Department of Communities, Culture, and Heritage as outlined in the Memorandum of Understanding for the Municipal Physical Activity Program.
Thank you. Seconded by Councillor Hawks. Nora Merrow has been in this position, and I see we have our physical activity strategy 2025 in front of us. Norm, do you wish to make any comments?
Just that the physical activity, I think these are great observations by Councillor Brown and Councillor Fancy about sort of the different challenges people face in getting more active, whether it be the physical surround or the opportunity to walk in safety, or for even somebody who wants to walk and maybe doesn't have capacity. And remember a lady at one of our meetings in Liverpool, I think she used to live on Councillor Charlton Street. She observed that that she wanted more benches. And you would the first thing I would say, well, why? She said, well, she had an illness that impacted on her ability to breathe, so she needed to take a rest. So you have to look that deeply when it comes to the work of this strategy, and really go beyond
those things are important, like social media messaging and programming, but we really need to go very deep into this to try to make a change for everyone and to increase this. And so when we really wake up in the morning to say physical activity, you know, like, but we have to make it such that physical activity becomes embedded in our day or just moving more. So that's the work of the strategy. Is it quick and easy? No, it is very time consuming when we get to all the, particularly the barriers that people face. They'd be geographical, they'd be financial, they'd be motivational. It's going to take at least 5 years to start to impact that. But I think it's a good step for council and our community to continue the work and the good advice we've been given through the process.
Questions or comments? Councilor Gibney.
What has been created? What have we actually done?
What have we done?
We have the initiative, and I appreciate that, but
yep.
What has actually happened?
What have we been good at? We've been good at high-level messaging. You know, we've been put a lot of information on where to walk, get motivational things, showing people who have made behavioral change. We've had very successful, our bike exchange was very successful this year. We went from just a handful of bikes last year, and that's what we take in, we refurbish, give them back out to people. We probably doubled the output there. We put up some nice signage at Pine Grove Park. And I think we've done a good high level type of stuff like that. We need to get now into the nitty gritty of encouraging people from a personal point of view. And that's the work of the strategy, Councillor, is to do that. And partnerships, we've started a partnership with Primary Health, which is really kind of exciting, where maybe in addition to your primary health care provider will actually suggest and help you with physical activity too. So, and that's, like I said, and the pandemic certainly complicated things, but, you know, partnerships is going to be key going forward. So we've made some progress with the strategy, but there's still lots of work to do.
Other questions? Councillor Fancy.
Yes, Norma. Along with this, as we noticed, when the council took a different direction away from recreation, that's what we ended up doing, you know, with the put our emphasis on economic development and took it away from activity. We lost a lot. I mean, the programs have gone down anyway. I think things are cycling, we can see where things like soccer, spring and fall, summer, they don't want to do it because they're everybody's away. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing other things it kind of goes outside your sphere, like the pickleball and things that seem to be growing big. Tennis is going down because of it seems to be a cycling thing. There doesn't seem to be a lot of we had some programs. I know up on Milton, we had Henrietta Wilcox did some programming there.
Right. With Easy Movers.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's gone. So are we looking at trying to get some of these programs back? Is there money that we can be able to use to do these type of things? We had a large crew, but they didn't pay much. But it was something where we want to try to get those things back to the seniors.
Jack, Councillor Fancy, I think you have to go boldly beyond programming, okay? And the sports aspect of it, certainly it's an issue, but we have to think way beyond that, okay? When you think about sports, we have to think about how we encourage people of all ages to get back into or just pick up or to start sports, okay? What I'd like to see is someone, instead of maybe thinking,
just about sports or existing programs is like, you walk there. You know, now not everybody can do that, okay? But whether it's making walking a part of your day, whether you walk to council or walk on your lunch break, that's, I think, where the physical activity strategy wants to go, is just to make people move a little bit more within their capabilities. And Recreation for All is I forgot to mention that, Mayor Norman, but the program has been in place for roughly a month. I don't know what sort of take-up there is on that, but it's a good litmus test to see if there that desire exists to use a facility. But if it doesn't, then how do we encourage people to do that? Is it transportation? Is it motivation? So I guess my suggestion is to think boldly beyond what's existing. Now, support then, and the CIF grants do support new programming, but to go boldly beyond what's existing and just try to think about how we can, because not everybody can take, you know, can partake in sports, but just try to encourage each of us at the individual level to make a little bit more movement in your day. Not be preaching, you know, and that's the other thing the pandemic has taught us is people right now are fragile, and it's been a very, very tough situation. So we all know we should get 150 minutes a week, right? We know that. We know we shouldn't smoke. We know we should eat well. But, you know, the we're trying to do a softer type of messaging just to encourage people within their time and within their capacity, within their motivation, just to move a little bit more. So that's kind of where we're approaching it from.
And just to Norm's point, I think something, I forget which counselor mentioned it earlier, but just things as simple as having safe places to walk in your own community. I think those are the things, and Norm and I have been talking and trying to brainstorm about this a bit more lately, is, you know, we want to do things that encourage, you know, the most basic things like walking. But if people can't do that in their own community safely, it's really hard to encourage them to do those things. And so to our point in the strategy, it's, you know, looking in our communities, figuring out how we can encourage them not to have to leave their community, but to be able to be active in those places. And certainly one thing that's been highlighted to us is that in some communities, we certainly don't have those. And how do we get to the point that, you know, if we have a walking challenge, and we're encouraging people to walk, how do we do that so that they can stay in their own community and do that safely? So those are the things that, you know, are big focuses to us. And those things don't happen overnight. They do take a lot of time. And, you know, certainly sometimes it's different levels of government as well trying to make those things happen.
In your comment, Mr. Mira, about benches, have there been many benches recently added for those ease of walking purposes?
No, not to my knowledge, Councillor. Trail over Queen's Place has some bit where you go up in amongst a couple of hills there. But not to my knowledge. We probably could look at maybe on the Trestle Trail, because there's lots of benches in Pine Grove itself. But, you know, those are simple things, you know, that we could do, that the region could do, I think, too. And there's so much stuff in that strategy. There's so much, you know, one of them is talking about if we have an outdoor facility, can something be added to increase people's physical activity? And I'll just tell you one thing, because I had a meeting with a lady up in Caledonia, disc golf stations, you know, and it's kind of a cool thing where you, and there's one up actually behind the school in Greenfield, Councillor Brown, three stations. So, and I'm not saying that's what it is, but are there ways that we can look at existing facilities just to, while people are there, to increase their physical activity?
I happen to side with Councillor Brown, who says it's very difficult to walk in your communities. Mm-hmm. When the bushes are growing out to the road. And I think as we meet with TRI and we meet with the district superintendent, that it's very important that we remember our MPAL. It doesn't matter if it's Sandy Cove or Port Medway or Port Mattoon, it is dangerous in most places, in most communities, to walk. And I see counselor, and he was nodding, and he knows. We want people not to get in their car and drive somewhere to get exercise. But yet, when they go out their driveway, there's pavement and a ditch with trees growing in it.
And so, also...
And we were going to talk someday about our priorities for TRI, so maybe we should think about if that's going to become a main priority. And as we said, look at our districts to see which areas need those. If we do indeed just want, you know, it just could be a matter of someone walking from here to a friend's house down the road.
And when TIR repaves, make sure that a request goes in to widen the road. Think of the two sides of the river in Milton. I know one's a sort of primary route, one's secondary, but one you take your life in your hand to run or what, you know. The other is, you know, big and wide and beautiful. So that's a simple but proactive thing a council could do. And like Anna said, look at everything with a physical activity lens. And since Elise is sitting there, are there ways we can encourage people with disabilities or with limited mobility, for example, to use whether it's Queen's Place or different? And we have to look at all people and all levels and types of barriers that they face. And is it going to be easy work? Absolutely not. But it's an investment in our community that I think, given all negative press around our levels of activities or inactivity, I should say, it's an investment we need to make.
Councillor Gidney.
I think this is a very good initiative. We talked about the roads, for example.
Mm-hmm.
That hasn't been a problem, cutting bushes back, no shoulders. And for us to make this work, this has to be done in the other communities. So this is a win-win. It's not only just for walkers, but also for drivers and for the general public. So I think this is a very good idea. And if we get all the initiatives going, and it helps us get things done that we want to get done, and now we have another reason for doing it. And not that we need more than one reason, but the more reasons you have to do something, usually is the better chance of getting things done. I think it's a wonderful idea. Thank you.
Anyone with any new information or comments they would like to make? Councilor Brown?
I'd like to see the plan focus a little less on facilities and more on getting people up to do free activities. I talked to a lot of people with a number of kids, large families or people on lower incomes, and this is a real detriment to them getting out and being active. It seems like our society right now, we get the mindset that we need a facility to do something, but we need to get back to just getting out in nature, doing free activities, and not necessarily try to use this to get rid of the deficit at Queen's Place.
I don't think that's what this is.
But just, you know, I'd like to see some free options that we promote for people. I think you'll get a lot more buy-in from groups.
Councillor Fancy.
Yeah, just a few things. I'll just say more quickly, as we kind of hit on, is that when we promote that, when we do paving, we put in bike lanes. I mean, we need to have those, if we're ever possible, to have that lanes open there. I mean, you can't do it on spots where there's not, the area isn't there. But any time we get into paving or joint paving, that we need to have bike lanes to have an area so people can be able to use it properly. Moving through the recreation for all strategy and things. And one thing was over Greenfield, they were talking about is that they don't have any stuff. You get light here, and of course you got a second. So it's dark area, so it's hard to walk. That maybe the region would be able to work with then through the MPAL to be able to create a safe area to walk and things. So this, and that's all part of it. It's not a big initiative, but it becomes a spot where you can be able to work with that. Great Oak Park, I was talking about in particular.
Yeah.
All those benches are just rotted right out. And there's no money around. Is there things we could help there? Because a lot of people walk those. I have one fellow walks up to Milton all the time. He always stops and sits on the railing. You know, he walks so far, and then
yep.
He gets to sit on the railing because he gets tired. So he got a spot where he can go along by the bench, by the brook, and sit on the there. So they do need spots and stuff. So And then also too, we could, after school activities, I think we need to be more joint with trying to get some things that we can be able to help with. Like in particular in Caledonia, that's why they were trying to get somebody out there, get some things where we can get, like just low impact anything, try to promote, try to work with that.
Advisory or the community committee still moving ahead in Caledonia. Schools are really, really important, so that's why I'm happy that that at least some gym access is being granted. Can I tell the Aubrey story one more time? I'm sorry for those who've heard this, but that's why I think it's a good idea. Our first bike exchange last June started at 9 o'clock in the morning at the curling club. So I got up first thing at 8 o'clock. I went past, there was a car in the parking lot. I said, we went over, talked to the folks. I said, why are you here? No, not why, but we don't start till 9. But there was a family, three children in the family. And they said, no, we want to stay here. We want to be first in line. So I said, why? I said, Aubrey, young man, hadn't had a bike in 2 years because he couldn't afford it. The mom had come off shift at Tim Hortons at 6 o'clock in the morning to be in line first. Okay. And Aubrey was not budging. That family was not budging. So Tim Smith showed up. I let him in. And Aubrey went over and stood by the bike that he wanted. And he said, I ain't going anywhere. And, you know, that's, to me, that's the power of it. But that's the depth. And it's going to be hard work to do this. And can we help every Aubrey in the world? Probably not. But hopefully we can make a difference in the lives of many people. And I do apologize for those. Heard that story before.
Are we all in and done? All right, I call the question. All those in favor signify by saying raise your hand. Thank you. Planning. 13.1.